In a world plagued by reboots, haunted by sequels, dominated by the same old shit, get ready for an original podcast that will gouge out your eyeballs and skull fuck you. Starring Ginger Josh, Adam the Hare, and introducing the immortal Frank. Hold on to your butts. It's the Game Rage Movies TV Podcast.
Oh yeah, here we are. Welcome back to another episode of Game Rage Movies and TV. My name is Josh. I'm here today with good buddy Adam.
Greetings.
Today we're going to continue our series on the show Severance. It's exclusively on Apple TV. This will be episode number 6. But if you want to listen to more of our stuff, and not just this, you can go to YouTube. That fucking cat is an idiot. Anyways, you can go to YouTube. And you can like, comment, and subscribe. Game Rage Magazine on YouTube. Additionally, you can go to at Game Rage Magazine on Instagram and TikTok. At Game Rage Mag on Twitter/X. If you like music and hearing prophecy in the music industry come true, you should listen to All Gas No Trash and follow good buddy Adam at All Gas No Trash Official on Instagram. Also, if you like anime and mangas from the Japans, dude, she's fucking him up. That cat is fucking him up. She will not leave him alone. You can also listen to Frank's Anime Syndicate podcast, and you can follow him on Instagram at anime_syndicate_podcast. All right, that does it for the cheap plugs. Let's get into it. Episode 6, Hide and Seek.
This is Severance.
Severance. And we get the I don't know if it's the revelation, but it's because we didn't know who the fuck Regabi. God damn it, I can't say that fucking name.
Regabi.
We didn't really know who the fuck that was because we had heard that name mentioned before of like, oh, I think it might be Regabi. Oh, God, Regabi. Oh, who the fuck? And so, the security guy, suit and tie buddy, calls up Cobell and says, "Oh, it for sure was Regabi. Like, it's definitely Regabi."
I forgot what his name is. Isn't it Grainer?
Yeah, Grainer. And she's just like, "Son of a bitch." So then we get Irving. Irving goes to see Bert again.
In the Forbidden Garden.
The literal Forbidden Garden of Eden. He's like, "Oh, I just found this room one day. It's just my special favorite little alone spot where I probably jerk off and do other things." And they're talking about just nonsense and their weird fucking coded, you know, like, thinly veiled flirting, right? Like,
are you embarrassed? Are you ashamed?
Are you embarrassed? No. She's like, should I be? Like, you know, that sort of thing. And then so he's like, you know, the Lumen manual doesn't say anything about touching lips. And then he's like,
it don't say anything about bumping penises either.
It doesn't say anything about putting your penis inside another man's asshole. Or 69. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't say you can't 69.
Yes.
And then he says, well, it does forbid office fraternization or whatever. And he's like, well then I guess we can't, you know, I guess we shouldn't enjoy it then or whatever. And he's like, ah, yes, this is strictly business. And then basically he tells him like, oh, I can't commit. Irving tells him like, oh, I can't commit to, you know, anything or whatever, really. He kind of just is like, I'm not ready for this. She just fucking runs away. So then we Mark finds out that Miss Casey got sent to the break room for not watching him and Helly and them, you know, escaping or whatever. And he's just like, no, that's bullshit. He's like, why don't you send me to the break room? And then she's like, oh, Mock, you would say that, you know? And
he likes to play the martyr for all, like, the
women. He does, man. He does. He's a simp. That's what he is. He's like a fucking simp, man.
He's like, I'm going to have a... I wouldn't be surprised if Severance turns into a harem anime where, like, he just gets bitches on one side of his brain the other.
He's going to have, like... He's gonna find out that his wife is still there, right?
Yeah.
Then he's gonna fuck this chick on the outside. I mean, shit, I'm sure he's probably gonna fuck Helly. He's probably gonna get involved in a three-way with Bert and Irving, all right? Like, you know.
It's just gonna be fucking Caligula's den, dude. Everybody's gonna be fucking everybody.
That's likely what it always devolves into, is either chaos and anarchy or just fucking sex everywhere. So then he says, you know what? Fuck it. Why don't we introduce ourselves to the fucking OND people or whatever? And so they all go in there and you know, Bert walks in and he's like, oh, this is my friend, you know, this is the rest of the guys from OND. And you know, so Mark tells him about like, yo man, like, why don't we figure out what the fuck it is we're actually doing here?
Yeah, with this, the you that you are from Rick and whatever his bullshit. And his communist manifesto.
Yeah.
He's like, he's becoming emboldened.
Yeah, yeah. And then Dylan fucking's like, yo, man, that was poetic as shit. And he's like, thanks, man. And so then he's like, I've been making this map. Like, why don't we go like together to like map this place out and figure out what it is we're really doing here? And they're all kind of like, yeah, yeah, man, that sounds like a good idea. And then fucking Milchek shows up and is like, get your ass back to the room, motherfuckers. I ain't got time for this shit. And so basically, when they bring them all back in, Kobel is in the fucking room and she starts singing this fucking song.
Oh, dude, it was weird as shit.
It was, man.
This is definitely a fucking cult.
Yeah. And so then she's like, you, and then she sings this whole song about Kier and all this shit, right? And then immediately she's like, you violated my trust. I trusted you, Mark, and you violated that trust. And so then basically she says, you know what, Mark? Mr. Grainer's going to be taking you to the break room now. And so he walks into the break room and dude, Mark is just like, yo, this is fuck bullshit. He's like, whatever, motherfucker, put me in the break room. I don't give a fuck. And then as he's going in, that Miss Casey's coming out. And, like, there's this weird, like, interaction kind of between them. And, man, it is... It's just leading up to that fucking eventual whatever. I mean, it's already been revealed, essentially, that it's his wife. But he doesn't know that. And so... Oh, fucking cat. So then, while they were inside OND, Dylan stole this, like, it was like these little instructions for, like, karate or some shit.
Yeah, and he stuffs it under the toilet.
Yeah, well, he stole the card, and they stuffs it under the toilet. So then, basically, after Mark goes to the break room, Dylan just wakes up, and he's in this closet, and he's like, what the fuck? And Milchek's there. And he's like, Dylan, I need you to tell me where the fuck the card is. And he's like, what? He's like, is this my house? And he's like, holy shit, is this my stuff? He's like, dude, I have a giant fucking card. This is cool.
Yeah.
And then fucking he tells him, you know what you do with the card? And he's like, the what? And he's like, the fucking card that you stole from OND. He's like, I watched you do it on the footage. He's like, what did you do with it? And he's like, oh, it's in the bathroom, second stall, whatever, the toilet, whatever it is, right? He's like, dude, this is cool as shit. I can't believe I'm in my house. And then he hears, Daddy, Daddy's like, is that my son? Do I have a son? And then he's like, what? And then the kid busts in the door and comes in there and hugs him. And he's like, what the fuck? And then Milchek is the phone. He's like, cut it. And then he grabs the kid and he's like, I thought I told your little ass to stay out here, motherfucker.
He told him to count to 1,000.
Yeah.
Like that.
And so then fucking. he flips back to being himself, and he's like, oh, did you get whatever you needed? And he's like, yeah, it's all good, man. Thanks. And he's like, okay, little buddy, see you later. Like, he's all nice to the kid and shit after he's just fucking super mean to him.
Yeah, this was definitely, like, the revelation. Well, I guess it was kind of tipped off with the addition of the woman that Mark's sister met.
Yeah.
From the cabin thing.
Right.
That it turns out that she was severed when she was giving birth, so she wouldn't remember anything about that interaction anyways.
Right, because that's why the interaction's so fucking weird, because she, like, doesn't really even know who this bitch is, and she comes up and she's talking shit like they've been friends. Yeah.
So they got, like, a kill switch, or they got something else to override their fucking brains.
Well, that's the other thing. Remember that this is what adds the whole new layer to the thing, is because they had basically said, well, it happens when you come through the elevator, so it was, like, proximity triggered. So now they can just literally do it anywhere. So it's kind of like, I wonder if proximity is even the trigger at all. It's just there's a guy at a work desk and he's just fucking flipping it on every time you go through the elevator.
Yeah, if it could just be active. I'm sure that's the plan, is just to have it active on everybody.
Yeah.
Because that's why they're indoctrinating them in their other mode.
Right, yeah.
So that once the switch goes off, it's like they're already programmed for
compliance. I wonder if there's something that's going to be like, oh yeah, they're actually like, people are immortal. Like, and that when you die, like, that's what all it is this company figured out how to, like, capture your consciousness.
Or your DNA. They create a clone you.
Yeah.
And then they stuff you with this fake personality that's not really you. It's like the Cure version of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Lumen version of you.
Yeah, and they just indoctrinate you and just fucking brainwash you into fucking believing that it's you.
I can't believe how much the dick that Milchick guy was to little kids. Like, oh, he's never actually dealt with the kid before, because
yeah,
maybe he's only been in the Lumen.
Yeah, maybe.
Or he hasn't known anything outside of Lumen, so it's like he wouldn't know how to interact with the kid proper anyways.
Yeah, and so then basically, that chick, her husband, that one that Devin was at the retreat with, her husband is the Lumen-backed senator who supports legalizing severance, which is also fucking very strange. But then Cobell shows up as Mrs. Selvig to end up getting closer to Devin and Rickon by trying to be their lactation consultant.
That is weird as shit. She's playing three different people.
Yeah, man. That is fucking weird as shit.
The neighbor?
Yeah.
The fucking...
His Who boss?
And then this third role.
Which is fucking this lactation consultant,
like,
or whatever.
Like a grandmother, quote unquote.
And she's very good with the baby. It's very strange. Like, and they're like, he's like, Rickon's like, oh, you know, just so you know, we're also seeing other people currently at the moment. Like, we're trying out other ones.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, yes, I know. But you'll love me. I'll be the best.
Yeah.
And then, what's his name? Doesn't that fucking Grainer guy show up or something again, and he sees her in her, like, outfit? He's like, that's a little weird.
Yeah, he also, like, makes a comment, because I don't know if it's said that he has, like, a romantic interest in her.
Yeah.
But that Miss Selvig lady.
Yeah.
Or actually Miss Cobell, like, yeah, denies him. Because he makes a comment, like, in the office in one of the previous episodes. He's like, oh, should we do this together? He's like, no.
She's
like,
yeah.
No. So, I don't know what's going on there, but anyway, so. And then we have, where do we leave off?
Oh, Mark goes on this date with Alexa. He goes on another date with her. The midwife or whatever the fuck you want to call
her. Yeah, so they fuck. Or they go on a
date. Yeah, they go on a date. Yeah. And, she's asking him about, like, his wife, his former wife and stuff. And, like, he's like, oh, man, this is fucking weird, dude. He's like, I don't know if I should be talking about this? And she's like, well, I haven't got up and walked out on you yet. And he's like, all right. And she's like, oh, do you guys want to have kids? And she's asking all these weird fucking questions, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just like, we tried and it didn't work. And, you know, we were talking about adopting. And then, you know, she died. So fuck off. Like,
right.
Didn't happen. So then, they go out after they're done with the date and they're waiting for their Ubers or whatever. And he sees that this fucking sign and he's like, it's like for an advertisement for a punk rock fucking show. And he's like, oh, this is happening right now. And he's like, you see one of the chicks in the band is Petey's daughter. So he's like, oh, hey, like, should we go to this? And he's like, she's like, I don't know. Should we? And he's like, I kind of know one of them. And he's like, she's like, oh yeah, fuck it. Let's go. So then they go and they show up and they're basically, it's just like, it's like Green Day if they actually hated the man, like instead of becoming the man. and they're like, the song is just literally Fuck You Lumen. And it's fucking hilarious. And then they start singing along and they're all like, fuck you, Lumen. Ah. And then he talks to the girl afterwards. He's like, you know, your dad really would have liked it. And then she was like, how the fuck would you know? You didn't fucking know him. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. And so then basically after he goes home, Mark, because he throws the phone in the trash. I forgot about that. He throws the phone in the trash at the beginning of the episode in the trash can. And then when he gets back, he's like, fuck it. He goes and grabs it out of there. And he puts the battery in and then he ends up getting fucking contacted by Rigavi. And she's like, Meet me at this whatever university area. And so then he goes there and he meets up with her. And as this is happening, it's like cutting back and forth between that, him going there, and then them installing it in their office at Lumen, like this card reader door on the MDR entrance so that they can't just freely move a fucking muck about.
Yeah.
And so she basically she meets him and he's like, all right, I'm here or whatever. And then she's like, looks at him and then she's just like, come with me. And then they just start walking and they leave. And then that's basically how the episode ends.
Right. And just to add a little bit further detail, there was the part about Devin, who's Mark's sister, running into that woman.
Right. Yeah.
Which we already mentioned.
Right.
But it turns out her husband is a senator that's trying to get severance universally. Legalized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Universally approved. Legalized.
Yeah. So anyways, this was a good episode. A lot of information that was revealed, but also still more questions to have.
Yeah, with three episodes left, there are more revelations to be fucking had. It's, I mean, for me, this is probably the best payoff episode, because, I mean, for the most part, there's been more breadcrumbs than actual full reveals, and the fact that they were able to show us that there's a switch within the mechanism of the pill or thing that's implanted in their brain.
Yeah, that they can just turn on and off at will.
Fucking wild. Fucking wild.
That is fucking wild.
And then Dylan, of course, realizing is like, holy shit, I have a kid, I have a house. I'm sure that's going to have some kind of resentment towards Milchek. He's like, you son of a bitch. You don't talk to my goddamn...
Yeah,
my son. My Audi's kid like that.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. I'll kill you. But anyways, all right, well, fuck. You got anything else to add?
No, I think the show wasn't as going as fast as I would like it to. And now that... Maybe it's not even the fastness or the speed in which it's going, but now it feels like it's getting somewhere. Now we're getting some answers about what severance is, what could happen. The characters are starting to develop more. Miss Cobell's fucking crazy as shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just all good shit. I think these are filling out to be better episodes than the first four or five, and I guess it took so much to get to the world building first that it's like, okay, now we can get the ball rolling about some of the things that are happening. So I feel like this is the turning point for the show, and I'm really liking it. So
yeah, I agree. I think it's great. So anyways, can't continue to keep watching it and seeing how it goes, but anyways, that'll be it for us. If you want to listen to more stuff, you can go to YouTube, Game Rage Magazine, like, comment, subscribe. Also, you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Game Rage Magazine, Twitter.com/X at Game Rage Mag. You can follow Adam at All Gas No Trash Official. And you can go follow our good buddy Frank at Anime_Syndicate_Podcast on Instagram. All right, well, that'll do it for us. Catch you guys on the next one.
Excuse me.
Oh, hey there, buddy. It's me, 1930s announcer guy, here to congratulate you on making it through this episode.
as our heroes are getting in their jalopies and riding off into the literal sunset, they wanted me to tell you thanks for listening to their radio broadcast, and should you be so kind as to follow them on some fancy schmancy radio station publication called Instagram and TikTok at Game Range Magazine, and on some other thing called Twitter/X at Game Range Mag. Also, they wanted me to inform you and ask if you could be so kind again as to visit something called a website at www.gameragemagazine.com. I don't know what that is, buddy, but you should probably go do those things. And, you know, don't forget to tune in next time to the Game Rage Movies and TV Radio Broadcast.